I've had Joni Pacheco.
Any bond today? Bond to freedom, that's what I'm selling. Any bond?
Pittsburgh and.
This is basic civil defense information from the department.
And graduate of...
Speeding along the highways or riding the trains and skyways. Listen wherever you are. We bring you good news.
That's okay. Okay. All right, I'll try it. Thank you. Pushy waitress. Wants me to try the holiday coffee. It's peppermint flavored. Peppermint flavored coffee for the holidays. Because peppermint is somehow inextricably bound up with Christmas. Maybe, you know, 100 years ago they'd had beef bouillon flavored candy canes, we would associate that as a holiday flavor, but no, we had peppermint-flavored coffee canes, so now we got to stick peppermint in our coffee. You know, if you talk to anybody, you said, here, try this peppermint stick. It's coffee-flavored. They'd say, ew, and rightly so. But the other way around, I guess flavors in the coffee are perfectly okay. Coffee is a flavor by itself. I understand those who feel the need to adulterate it with sugar and cream, but to yoke it together with another flavor just seems to me to be the mark of a truly unserious person when it comes to coffee. I mean, look at all the things that they put in coffee this time of the year. Cinnamon, apple spice, butterscotch, hazelnut. Ugh. Despise all these things. The very notion somehow that we should change the essential character of coffee simply because we are drinking it at a time of a year which is associated with the most important religious festival of our culture and also one that has great secular importance for those people who don't buy in to the whole theological construct of Christmas and are celebrating this really as a sort of an emanation of the pagan tradition onto which it was grafted, by which I mean, of course, December for the Roman... Sorry. I do go on. Hi, folks. Welcome to the diner. I'm James Lilex. Glad to be back. Finally got my breath. I'll explain that in a minute. Glad to be back at the diner. Sitting at my my usual place at the long boomerang pattern Formica counter here at the old diner. Out on old Highway 23. This time of the year, they should probably change the name to old Highway 25, right? For the December 25th thing and do it with peppermint-flavored paint. If you're wondering exactly, and I can't say as I blame you, this coffee is just... Hold on here. Ugh, horrible. Ugh. But, you know, she's not going to refill my cup with diner blend unless I drink this whole dang thing. Oh, man. It's like licking Rudolph's nose. If you're wondering how I got out of the events of last week, where I was stuck downstairs... Well, I wouldn't exactly say downstairs. Good Lord. As we found out, the diner sits atop a large pneumatic device that goes down into an underground laboratory where they conduct germ warfare and extraterrestrial life form investigations. Sort of like that movie The Andromeda Strain, now that I think about it. And I was down there after they had the whole outbreak thing with that discovery of a life form in Lake Lalaque that was based on something no other life form on Earth is based on. It had DNA, actually, that contained Tabasco.
Well, it mutated from what I learned. That's that's why everybody left, and there was the whole crisis thing. It mutated into Frank's Red Hot, which, interestingly enough, you know, makes it probably better for eggs when you think about it. So I don't know if they're going to be marketing that particular bacterium as an egg condiment, but we'll find out. Anyway, the problem is over, and I was stuck down there after I left the diner, and it went up the shaft. Up the shaft. So what do you do then when you're stuck underground? Well, it turns out everybody builds a back entrance into these places. And I found one, a set of stairs, and it was a big, long set of stairs. It took me a long time to get up. And as I got up, I found myself in the diner basement, which is interesting because the stairs, it culminated in a sort of a manhole. And once I pushed that up, I was in the diner basement, which is, you know, is where they've got the stocks of Jubal, the old soda left over from the 1940s, and all the bunting for the seasonal events, you know. And there's a big refrigeration unit in the back, and there's a skeleton behind the refrigeration unit. That was the refrigerator salesman who stood behind his work, literally. And that's also, they have the underground passage that goes to the haunted diner. Now, I was thinking that maybe I would go down there and see if the haunted diner is all decorated for Christmas, because that would be interesting, because usually the haunted diner doesn't appear unless it's Halloween. And I was halfway down, and I passed the zombies. If you remember from, you know, how many years ago was that when I went down that passage? There were just lots of zombies. And I thought, you know, just a pity. They don't get to celebrate Christmas. I mean, yeah, they're undead, but that doesn't mean they don't have the right to festiveness. So we brought some of them up here to the diner, and they just kind of stood around for a while. And the moaning got on people's nerves, so we put them in the bathroom. I think they're doing okay. Hey, somebody want to check in the zombies? Can you open the bathroom door? Yeah, well, they're there. So later we're going to decorate them, sort of put a little, you know, wreaths, garlands around their head and stuff. They make great Santas because they're mostly bloody, generally. So they've got the red part of the suit down pat, and I think for the white part, you really don't want to get too close to them, so I'm just going to take a can of Ready Whip and spray Ready Whip on them to indicate Santa's various white trimmings. And the beard as well, too. So we'll have essentially caked blood zombies with Ready Whip beards, which I think is a mark of distinction that might bring in some traffic otherwise not inclined to stop at a diner. Bring the kids. No, let's not put out a sign for that. Anyway, so it looks great. So I got back up here, and I find that the diner is exactly as it was, and somehow in the time it took me to get up, they decorated everything for Christmas. So it's wonderful. There's just all the traditional trimmings and trappings, including the sprayed snow in the windows. I don't get this. Now, we had this when I was a kid. You could go to the store and buy a can of snow, aerosol snow, jet age miracle, and you could spray it to make it look like the inside of your house, apparently, was poorly sealed, because you would have snow in your window, and I guess the effect was supposed to be that, you know, oh, isn't that all nice, well, and good? But this was Fargo, North Dakota. We had snow everywhere. The idea that there would be snow in your window in the corners, you already had it. What was my mother thinking? What was my dad thinking? Were they fearing some solar eruption that would just boil all the snow off, and then the kids would be so unhappy because Christmas was ruined because the snow was gone, when actually, of course, you know, any sort of solar flare that significant would have also boiled away the atmosphere, so it would pretty much be death by gamma rays, I think. And, you know, in that respect, I think maybe they would think, if it's going to be death by gamma rays, the kids should enjoy their last Christmas. So maybe that's what they were thinking. Because when you are going to die soon from, you know, gamma ray kill shot, you don't want to be looking around for that can of snow and spraying it. You want to have that in place. So, but they did it here at the diner, too, and it just looks like, you know, there's snow inside, which is ridiculous because outside there's about a billion cubic feet of snow in this part of town. Literally. I'm not making that up. Twin Cities alone got a half a billion cubic feet, and out here in the outskirts, in Old Highway 23, it's up to your chin. Now it's up to my chin. Could be up to your hips. Anywho, I was talking before about the pagan origins of some of the aspects of Christmas, and I learned about Saturnalia. My research into Roman culture taught me a good deal about Saturnalia, and by research into Roman culture, I mean I read a couple of fictional books set in the ancient Roman period. Saturnalia was fascinating. It lasted for about a week, festing, frivolity, feasting, fun. There was one day when the slaves and the masters would exchange places. I don't know if this meant that the slaves would bugger the masters. Don't think so. But the slaves would have dinner, and the masters would serve them. And it would be done Roman style, which means, of course, when they had their big dinner parties, everybody would recline. You know, any culture that has to lie down to eat is definitely eventually going to get its butt kicked by a culture that is able to eat and march. But the Romans, I'm sure for lunch that everybody sat at proper tables, but come the evening meal, everyone sat down and laid down and propped themselves up on one elbow and stabbed at plates of pickled peacock brains or something. And the masters would serve the slaves. Ha ha, very fun. Oh, the world turned upside down. And then, of course, would be legally empowered to kill them the next day if they looked at them the wrong way. But unfortunate, that whole Roman slavery thing, eh? Such culture, such brutality. Anyway, so during Saturnalia, they would, the stores would close, the courts would close, everybody would eat and drink and exchange gifts. And I'm just sort of kind of guessing that tradition morphed its way into Christmas, since obviously, from what I understand, the birth of Jesus did not take place on December 25th, but sometime perhaps in the spring. And that goes back to to Caesar's census and the whole business about this. Anyway, so we're not celebrating Saturnalia here, but because that would mean that the customers would have to wait on the staff, and that would also mean I'd have to make them drink my idea of infused coffee. Yeah, I'm gonna see if I can get a petition around here to have a little Saturnalia fun. What do you think? Well, of course, the Christmas season being hard upon us, that means we've got to immerse ourselves in as many Christmas songs as possible. There is no genre of specific themed music like Christmas music. There just isn't. There's just so much of it. So much of it. And it's the same 14 songs. 16, 18. But I've got a lot of Christmas music from a lot of different eras, and everybody's doing the same thing, because it wouldn't be Christmas if you didn't do these songs. You wouldn't be Christmas if you didn't have at least 3 out of the 5 top secular songs, 2 out of the top 4 religious songs, a novelty hit. And that's, I mean, the other day, I'm at the mall, and I'm walking along, and I'm hearing all the novelty hit songs from over the years that I absolutely despise. And I just don't like despising Christmas music, but for example, Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree, I must say this every year, I don't know how that's done. First of all, if it's in the corner, you've got to rock a bit, and then you have to retrace your steps, you have to describe sort of a semicircle, tracing a semicircle around the Christmas tree, rocking a semicircle around the Christmas tree just doesn't cut it, really, is a great theme. There's nothing about it lyrically or musically that I enjoy. There's a Louis Prima song that I always hear coming out of the stores that just don't want to hear it anymore. Just don't. I can do without Elvin and the Chipmunks. Really, really can. I want a hula hoop. I mean, it was great when I was 8. It was funny when I was 10, remembering when I was 8. But we're talking, 45 years I've been hearing this song. No, I'm done with it. It's like Pink Floyd's Money. If I never hear it again, there'll never be a point where I say, God, it's been years since I've heard Pink Floyd's Money. Wonder how that song goes. Dum, 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 dum. Oh, yeah, that's it. So, but by the same token, it's you may tire of a particular tune, but you never are so jaded by any of it that somebody's new interpretation or even somebody's standard old interpretation of it isn't welcome, because there's a certain period of Christmas music that I love, and it's the stuff, it's the middlebrow stuff. It's the pre-hippie era when music was music. Between about 52, 53, all the way up to about 65, 66, where everything was lush and orchestrated. Burl Ives' Holly Jolly Christmas album is a perfect example of that. Owen Bradley, the great Nashville Countrypolitan producer, gave that a wonderful sheen that defined, for me at least as a child, what Christmas music should sound like. Echoey strings, the chorus ooing and aahing in the background, the certain space that it described. A lot of Christmas music sounded like that. And there was so much of it turned out by, as I mentioned every year, I know, this is the oddest connection ever, tire companies. Tire companies were the ones who, for some reason, put out Christmas albums. Now, Goodyear did it. And then Firestone, or the other way around. I don't know who, but at some point, one of the companies said, "Gentlemen, our competitor, Goodyear, has been putting out Christmas albums of best-loved tunes now, and I believe that we're looking, well, we're looking a little atheistic here." So the board of directors quickly approved the pressing of their own, and back and forth and pinging and ponging, there was a... they came up with both. But the existence of the Firestone Christmas album was a complete mystery to me when I was a kid. I had no idea, because we were a Goodyear family. See, my dad had a gas station, so we got the Goodyear album. Oh, we got it before anybody else, right? And I did the equivalent then of file sharing, of course. I would call my friends and, you know, play it over the radio, over the telephone, which was probably illegal, too. So when I found out later that there was an entire parallel world of tire-themed Christmas albums, I was stunned. And they're not as good. But it's just one of those things, you know. It's one of those, you go to somebody else's house, and instead of Coke, they've got RC. Instead of Heinz, they got Hunt's. Instead of Goodyear, they've got Firestone. Instead of Life magazine, they've got Look. Everything about them is different. They're just peculiar that way. Anyway, how much caffeine did they put in this stuff? How much? Is there caffeine and peppermint? All right, let's hit the jukebox, see what we got here. Let's go directly to B1.
Yo, Reggie, it's Phil, the elf from the North Pole. It's an emergency. Santa broke his sleigh. You gotta deliver all the presents or Christmas will be a disaster.
He's Reggie.
Yes, the rich genre of heavy metal parody music. Lots of that. At least it conformed lyrically to the basics. Christmas was in peril and had to be saved. Every year, Christmas is in peril, right? There's a big storm coming. Santa's sleigh is broken. Rudolph's got hemorrhoids. Santa's got boils. Looks like Christmas won't happen this year. Every year, Santa looks for some excuse to wiggle right. A guy works one day a year, and he can't be bothered to show up. You know, just always, it's a good thing he's got a beard, probably, because it sort of hides the expression that he truly has when somebody comes through and saves Christmas and he's got to go to work. All right, let's see what else we can find here. Oh, I forgot to mention, the fellow that we met last week, the journalist who was down with me in the diner down in the experimental laboratory, he was sitting here when the diner went back up, and he's with us now. He's at the counter. He hasn't gone anywhere. What do you want for Christmas? All right, well, be that way. Let's go back to the jukebox to M1.
Whatever you want, ask Mr. What Do You Want. And whatever you want, Mr. What Do You Want will make. Whatever you want, ask Mr. What Do You Want. And whatever you want, Mr. What Do You Want will make. I'm one of Santa's helpers. I've been with him quite a while. When Christmas rush starts rushing, then I rush in with a smile. So whatever you want, ask Mr. What Do You Want. And whatever you want, Mr. What Do You Want will make. fill whatever you want. Ask Mr. What Do You Want? And Mr. What Do You Want will make whatever you want. You know, we What Do You Wants have been What He Wants for a long, long time. You see, my father before me was a What Do You Want? And his father before him was a What Do You Want? And his father's father before him was a What Do You Want? And his father. My gosh, you're getting mixed up. How many What Do You Wants do you want? Well, you see, we always bring wishes to everybody. If they're good wishes, then we make them possible. You see, we fill wishes. See? So whatever you want, ask Mr. What Do You Want. And whatever you want, Mr. What Do You Want will make. So whatever you want, ask Mr. What Do You Want. And whatever you want, Mr. What Do You Want will make.
I want you to shut up.
You say you want a train, a plane, a toy, a fancy car. Just look beneath the candy cane and whoa, there you are. So whatever you want, ask Mr. What Do You Want. And whatever you want, Mr. What Do You Want will make. So whatever you want, ask Mr. What Do You Want. And whatever you want, Mr. What Do You Want will make. So what do you want?
Yeah, because it's not Christmas unless the song ends with somebody spitting. Mickey Rooney spitting, to be example. Yes, who he always knew was Christmas when Dad would get out Merry, Merry Michaelmas album, and we'd all sit around and wait for the moment when Mickey Rooney would expectorate, because then we knew Santa would be here any day. Whatever you want, ask Mr. What Do You Want. Mr. What Do You Want will make whatever you want. Whatever you want, ask Mr. What Do You Want. Mr. What Do You Want will make whatever you want. That's going to stick with you the rest of the day, if not the week, if not the season. Yeah. Elves. The only good elves are the elves in the Rudolph special. All the other elves, yeah, I don't know about them. Say what you will about that movie Polar Express, and it was a creepy, soul-deadening experience, but man, they got the elves right, because all those elves looked like they were on the lam for something. They all looked about 42 years old, and they had a couple of vagrancy beefs on their record. Maybe even a molestation charge, but that was dropped. You know, and they were all working at the North Pole because there weren't any extradition treaties up there. Elves. Well, after that, let's find something smooth, shall we? Something sophisticated. Something where you can put some chestnuts on the open fire and sit back in your Eames chair and loosen your narrow tie, light up an unfiltered cigarette, enjoy a hot cocktail. There's no such thing. I'm surprised they didn't come up with them. Windsor Canadian brings you steamed whiskey. So let's see what we got here. Let's go to E1. Jazzy. For the man who reads Playboy.
Is roasting on an open fire. Gnome head skewered on some poles. Draenei hooves hanging from some barbed wire. And dwarf beard stuffed inside of rolls. Everybody knows. Some salsa and Tabasco songs make those human eyes taste right. Hungry orcs with their bellies as boss will feel quite satisfied tonight.
Oh, great. Who opened the bathroom door? The zombies are out. They're attracted lyrically to this song. Oh, come on. Anybody got a bat? Gun? Anything? Hey. No. No eating the customers. I can't bring you guys anywhere. Listen, zombies, stop right now. I've got something for you. Do I have your attention? I was saving this for later. But if you're going to spoil Christmas in advance, all right, here you go. Here you go. Z1.
Oh, their clothes are dirty and full of tears and
They never want to comb their hair. It's truly awful, the things they've done, but Christmas is for everyone. So what are we supposed to do when the doorbell rings? Hide behind the curtains and pretend we don't hear those despicable things when it's Christmas with the zombies. Christmas with the zombies. Well, it was round Thanksgiving when we first...
All right, boys, they're into it. Let's open up some presents, and by presents, I mean skulls. Thorn, that one by the cigarette machine is still moving.
Holiday shopping. When the streets are clogged with a decaying tide, 'cause it's Christmas with the zombies.
Yeah, all right. Let's drag him outside. Place is spattered with grue. That's festive. Well, folks, sorry, I really didn't put me in the Christmas mood all that much, I guess. Well, live and learn, as zombies never say. We'll hose the place down, and we'll be back next week with more Christmas music and more Christmas Diner. So join me then. Thanks for stopping by, folks. I'm James Lilacs. This has been The Diner for Friday, December 17th, 2010. We'll see you down the road.
There's some organ fleck stuff there you want to scrape? Yeah. Oh, shit.